Good evening, everybody, and welcome. I'm glad we're all together again. We've been gone too long. We haven't had any meetings, and we haven't had any joint united prayer, which is important. And so I'd like Mark to open up with a word of prayer, please.
Father Yahweh, it has been a while since we've been able to fellowship together like this, and we appreciate the opportunity to get back together again and hope to help keep it more regular again. You know our needs, and so when we're away from each other, we know that you're still always with us. We've talked about some issues with our own personal temples tonight, and we know that your Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. And we ask your continued help, and with Yeshua's help and the help of your Holy Spirit, we ask that your blessing on Bill's sermon tonight. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Yeah, thank you. Tonight, I'm going to continue. I had started a message on, basically it was on prayer. And it was, I had it broken down to three different sessions. And the first session, I talked about His will, Yahweh's will, and His plan for our lives. And I'm going to continue on that because I think that's so important. And I think we have to really get into that and look into it. And it's a matter of introspection in one sense, because if we talk about all of these prayer requests and we talk about the wonderful results that we've seen, we talk about the praise, and I'm hoping that it's just not talk. We just have to internalize this thing, and we have to make sure that when we raise up a prayer request and when we are concerned about something, that we're not afraid to go right directly to Yeshua about it. And then, secondly, we've got to make sure that we are on the right, we're on the right track, and that we don't get disrupted and that we don't get taken off the course. Our course is what I'm going to talk about tonight. And of course, all of this goes back to just what our spiritual walk is. It depends upon, if we don't believe and we don't have a spiritual walk, and we are not doing something, we're not, whatever we're doing is not acceptable and not pleasing to Yahweh, we might as well give it up. So this discussion tonight is going to concentrate on how much personal faith that we actually, our level of faith, what is our level of faith? And that has to do with our trust and obedience. Those are two words that I will continue to hammer out and continue to emphasize. Trust and obedience. And it's going to include talking about our self-discipline and our commitment. And Mark talked about the commitment thing tonight. Just, you know, he sees that on a personal level at work. And when he's trying to teach, he has these computer classes, and people say, "Oh yeah, I'll be there," and he signs up a bunch of people, and then they don't show up, and they don't follow through. Sometimes people are so darn shallow, and there's I don't know what it is. It's just, but I've seen it over the years. We've attended and we've known a lot of pastors and we've known a lot of different church bodies, and every one of them complains the pastors complain about the commitment level and the fact that people just don't really want to get involved. They don't want, they want to show up at church maybe once a week, and then as far as that's concerned, well, you know, we're not responsible for our neighbor other than the fact that we should love him and try to show him our love, because our love should reflect Yahweh's love. And but the thing about it is, we can't be judgmental. And that's where the pastors are having a hard time, and I have a hard time with it too. Because sometimes you talk to somebody and that person says, oh yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I've done this and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to continue on and try to grow, and I'm going to, my commitment is going to be 110%. Well, that's between them and Yahweh. It's between you and your Maker, right? You're not responsible to me. You're not responsible to Mark. You're not responsible to any man. Except when you think about your patriotism. Now, that might be a different matter. But when we're talking about this, your spiritual health and your walk with God, that's a different thing. And that's a personal thing. And it's hard for a pastor or for any teacher to, well, it's just a tough thing. And I'll just leave it at that. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that we have to increase our level of faith. And we don't have to be worried and concerned about every little thing. Because God's got it under control. God's good. We know God's good. And it's a struggle. It's going to be a struggle. And Yahweh said it's going to be a struggle. But he says, and I'm going to go through a whole lot of scripture here tonight about this. And I want to start out with... I'm going to use this reference book tonight called God's Plan for Man. And it's a beautiful book. It's got great ideas. And this is one of Craig's most favorite books. It was by Finis Jennings Dake, D-A-K-E. And Dake was a theologian back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And his viewpoint, I just want to read you, the general principle adhered to in this book is that of literalizing instead of spiritualizing the statements of Scripture. His rule is to take the Bible literally where it is all possible. If you talk about symbolism and figurative things, kinds of things, and typical language, but he wants to look for the literal truth that thing conveys to us. It's the literal kind of thing. It's not, and so that's the way this lesson is going to be. It's going to concentrate on the literal understanding of the Bible. And I want to start out with the fact that I know a couple ladies, friends of mine, that say, oh, my level of faith is not high enough. It's not good enough. I've got, what can I do to increase my faith? And I want to talk about one thing that Dake says that we shouldn't have to do. We shouldn't have to If I can find exactly where it is here. He says it's not necessary to pray for faith in God and His Word. Prayer for faith is a prayer of unbelief. Consequently, there cannot be an answer to it. Praying for faith is simply an attempt to evade faith in the Word of God and get things from God contrary to truth. The Word alone can give you the basis for answered prayer. Simple faith in the Word of God may not be considered sufficient and even sensible to the natural man, unto you and me, who live in his senses and who wants always to see and feel everything with which he has to do. But this kind of confidence is necessary if one wants what the promises of God offer. And this is what we want to cling to. We want to talk about the promises. We are not told to pray for faith, but to simply have faith in God. And that's in Mark 11, 22 through 24. So I won't read it right now because I've got so much to cover. But you can put that down. It's a simple faith in God without having to do anything more about it. We just can't waver. And we'll talk about the fact that as humans, and you know, the Pentecostal folks always have to have this experience. And it's not necessary. Hebrews 10:23. I'd like Lana to read that for us. And then Jennifer. We'll go right around this way. Jennifer, I've got Matthew 11:28. And then for you, Miranda, Psalm 145, verse 18. And Leah, Psalm 70, verse 1. And finally, Porphy, would you look at Psalm 102? Psalm 102, verse 17. Dana, would you start out with that Hebrews?
Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
In other words, the Christian faith is founded upon promises that are contained in the Bible. The Bible, as we know, is it's a roadmap. It's a plan. It's a course. It's a map for life here on earth and for life eternal, actually. It tells us about what's going to happen afterwards. And as Christians, we are called upon to study its meaning, to trust these promises, and to follow its commandments, and then to share our belief, to share our, especially when we have something that is exciting and something that happens and that is a praise. We could go on and on that, but Jennifer, what have you have got? Matthew, is it?
What is that verse again?
Did I give you Matthew 11?
Mm-hmm. Was it 28?
20,
yeah,
28.
28,
yes.
My new glasses. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
There you go. Approaching Yahweh in prayer allows us to cast our burden on Him so that He can sustain us. We can't sustain ourselves. We can't expect to. He doesn't expect us to. He wants us to lean on Him, doesn't He? So we've got to ask Him whenever we have something. I don't care what it is. We give it to Him. We ask Him to assist us. So, there's a burden about His yoke is easy. And it really is. If we believe, if we say, oh, well, I don't believe any of that stuff. Well, boy, don't cast aspersions. And don't be negative. Matthew 11 goes on. There's a whole lot. It says 29 and 30. It says that Yahweh can supply rest for our soul, and that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Miranda, what do you have for us there?
I have Psalms 145, verse 18. And it
yes.
says, He is close to all who call on Him sincerely.
Yes, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth.
Psalm 145, verse 18.
Sometimes when we approach the Lord in prayer, we wonder if He hears us. Well, don't be negative and don't be surprised. Most of us are become disappointed because we don't get an immediate...
We don't get an immediate answer. You can't do that. You have to keep on praying.
He cares and He's going to respond. But He has got a different...
But He has His time.
That's right. He's got a different timetable, doesn't He, Swarfy?
Yeah,
we can take comfort in that fact that our God is He's deeply concerned with us.
You can expect to pray for something and get it right away.
Sometimes He will answer something immediately.
But it's better to keep on praying.
Yes, perseverance, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Uh-huh.
But in a case of a safety kind of a deal, for instance, if we're confronted with something that we need immediate protection, He can do that and He will do that immediately. But some of these other things that we pray about are going to take time. But just remember, He's not disinterested. He has an interest, and He's not going to let us falter. Leah, what do you have? Psalm 70, verse 1.
It says, "Rescue me, O God, Lord, hurry to my aid."
There you go. Help! Yeah. And in addition to that, the time to pray is, I'll say it's any time. Especially if we have a crisis. Fear, worry, anxiety are the most common occasions for prayer. And it's when we're desolate, forsaken, and if we feel stripped of every human resource, we just know we can't do it by ourselves. We naturally resort to prayer, and we cry out. And those are the words of David. You know all these psalms that we're reading. The majority of them are from David. Help me, O Lord. Poor Murphy, what did you have? You have Psalm 102.
Verse 17.
Verse 17.
He has regarded the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer.
A prayer of the afflicted, when he's overwhelmed and pours out his complaint against the Lord, he cried out. David said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. In the day that I call, answer me speedily." Well, God was looking down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, from the earth, and you know he cares for us, and he wants to hear from us. But this guy here had a what they call a 5-minute rule. His mother had a 5-minute rule for her children. They had to be ready for school and gather together 5 minutes before it was time to leave each day. They'd gather around Mom and she'd pray for each one by name, asking for the Lord's blessing for their day. Then she'd give them a kiss and off they'd run. Even neighborhood kids would be included in the prayer if they happened to stop by. And one of the children said many years later that she learned from this experience how crucial prayer is to this day. And I'm hoping that moms and dads and grandpas and whatever, if they have any kind of relationship and they have a chance to work with their children and grandchildren, that they will make sure that they pray with that little one. Now I'm going to go on here and we're going to talk about yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because that Holy Spirit is the power that we can experience. And we talked about faith not being a natural thing. It's not a natural ability or exercise that the human normally has, but it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? Talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22-23. It's also in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11. And Dake says, when a man uses his own powers of faith in God and his word, when he uses it properly, he makes contact with God in a supernatural way. And he becomes a partaker of the divine, that divine nature. That's 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. And I've got a beautiful book about the Holy Spirit. It was written by a gentleman from England called Smith Wigglesworth. He was a great old guy. He was born about 1850, and he was an evangelist, and he was a healer kind of a guy. He had such strong faith that he would come along. And he had people come to his meetings and they were crippled and sick and just in terrible shape. And he'd call upon that Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit would heal these people. Now, this is what we talk about being a partaker, making contact with God in a supernatural way. We were created to be in relationship with Yahweh. And when we take that relationship to an intimate level, it bonds us not only to His presence, but also to His strength. Prayers that express our hurts and emotions are most assuredly welcomed by Yahweh because they demonstrate our trust in Him. We will nearly always come away comforted, knowing we have entrusted the things that are troubling us to the one who is best able to sort through and to heal. Now, Smith Wigglesworth talks about the Holy Spirit. And John 14, verse 12, I'll tell you what it says. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. It's John 14, 12. Listen to this, what Mr. Wigglesworth says. Talking about the Holy Spirit. I feel I may speak to you with perfect freedom because I believe the Lord is helping us to comprehend a very deep spiritual condition. Talking about a deep intimacy, a spiritual condition with us and the Holy Spirit. This is something that's, it it gets me excited. It almost makes my hair stand up when I think about this relationship and the promises that He has given us. And the fact that these things, some of these terrible things that are going on, that we know are prompted and started and instigated by Satan, that they can be overturned. In the first place, I believe that we will all grasp the truth that we are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. In the second place, we belong to a spiritual order. We don't belong to the earth. We're just visitors here, right? We're only going to be here we're struggling through these 70, 80 years.
You have to be careful when you say that around here, because when I tell people I'm not of this earth, they kind of think I'm from Roswell or something.
I know. Yeah. And that's good. That's a good thing. It's a wonderful way to talk about the Holy Spirit.
My favorite way to say it is, this is a wonderful planet. We'll have to conquer another one like it soon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good, Mark. That's fantastic.
Just as an aside, Orphy, you were saying, you know, when you ask, you have to keep praying and everything. When I think it's in Peter, where he's talking about a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
That means when Yahweh says just a minute,
yeah,
He's expecting us to wait 253 days.
It could
work out too.
Wow.
So let me tell you, we know
8 months.
Yeah, yeah. We know people that have got a prayer request going on, a situation for years and years and years and years, and they don't give up. We don't give up. First of all, sometimes we pray. We know that the Lord Yahweh wants to solve our problems. He wants to take care of us. He wants to make sure that we are satisfied. But sometimes we pray for something that's not good for us. That's basically what it is. It's not the thing that He wants for us. That's as simple as it is. And so that's the reason that you don't get immediate prayer, reply. In my mind, that's one of the reasons, of course. Now it says, and not only that, but our minds and our bodies, our whole position through the eternal spirit, always have to be on the ascending position. To descend is to be conformed. Conformed to what? To this world. And to all the rotten stuff that's going on. To ascend is to be transformed. And in this transforming condition, we may, by the power of the Spirit, as God gives us revelation, He tells us what's going to be happening, we can be lifted up into a very blessed state of fellowship with God, with Yahweh. And in that place of power with Yahweh, we will have that power over everything else. For to have all power over the earth, we must first have power through the Spirit. He goes on and talks about our being heavenly citizens. And that's a beautiful thing. This is a great book for anybody that wants to borrow it. It's a beautiful thing. It's got some wonderful things in it. Now, we're talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is, the more we love Yahweh and conform to His Word, the more faith will grow. Faith is going to grow. This faith will grow until it rests solely in the infinite. In this place in Yahweh, we can reach up and pull down unlimited blessings for ourselves and other folks. Now, I want to go on to this question. And I talked about being an overcomer. I've talked about that several times, and I think that's the absolute assurance of receiving from God in abundance is just as certain as anything can possibly be if one will follow the Holy Spirit. If one will follow and believe the promises. God, Yahweh, cannot fail. His promises will not fail. It's a matter of humble confidence.
Just have to take Him as His word. That's what He said.
That's right. That's what it is. And here, I'm going to talk about the certainty of answered prayer. Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks will receive. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Ask, seek, knock. One must ask in faith. Nothing wavering. And then he will receive. That's James 1, 5 through 9. It's also reiterated in Hebrews 11, 6. There can be no failure. If there is, God isn't true. So let there never be a doubt about the fact. For we know God's true.
What was the James 1 again?
James 1. 5 through 9. Now, the secrets of asking and receiving, according to Dake. And he talks about learning to pray right here. And of course, a model prayer is our Lord's Prayer, right? So that's something that we should review. I'm not going to review it all now. But it shows us how Yeshua taught his disciples in Luke 11. And we talk about our Father, and of course our Father being Yahweh. Here's the part I like. Which art in heaven? This teaches that men are associated with God in heaven itself, and states the place where Yahweh dwells. Paul said our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. That's Philippians. So we remember, we should remember as children of God, we'll constantly recognize the source of the blessing and the place of his citizenship, which guarantees to him certain rights just as much as any citizen of any country. Isn't this cool? Isn't this a wonderful concept? Thy kingdom come where? On earth. I mean, you could go on and on, and it's beautiful. But Hebrews 4 says, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, we're commanded to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy . And we have that great high priest who is touched with a feeling. He knows our every infirmity. He knows every weakness. He knows every little situation about us, doesn't he? He knows how many hairs on our head.
This verse, Hebrews 4:15.
Yes.
I remember right after I was born again, and this was in the winter of 87, 88, and he was calling him, Dr. Frederick Price is still on television, but at the time he was Freddie Price, and okay. He was on there, and he read this verse. We don't have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things.
That's right.
And he says, Jesus was tempted to be a homosexual. And it's just like, it has stuck with me to this day, because he made the case in this sermon that all things means all things.
Yeah, all things.
If he experienced everything that we did, he was tempted with every manner of thing that we would have been tempted with. And I still enjoy watching him today.
Well, you know, we got that mediator. We've got that comforter, that Holy Spirit. Romans 8:34, guys. With a mediator between God and ourselves, between Yahweh, and with such a friend representing us before the Father, we cannot fail to get answers. Romans 8:34, and 1 Timothy 2:4-6. Listen to this. Hebrews 10. The basis of coming to God, and this is in Hebrews 10:19-23, is the blood of Yeshua, covered by his blood, which gives us a new way of approach to God, to Yahweh, so that all can draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he will be faithful as promised. Now, we talked about these prayer requests and these prayer situations that some of us have been praying for years. The power of persevering prayer in Luke 18, 1 through 8. Luke 18, 1 through 8. The chief secret of answered prayer is that of perseverance. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Jesus, Yeshua illustrated this truth here in Luke by showing how the widow was avenged of her adversary by pestering a judge until he said to himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubled pestereth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me." And Jesus said, "And shall not God avenge his only elect, which cry day and night unto him? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily." And it says, and there's further, it says, "If Elijah had become discouraged in praying for rain every time his servant reported no rain, he never would have received it. He prayed seven times with his face between his knees, and the seventh time rain came." That's in 1 Kings, 1 Kings 18. If you want to get an answer to prayer, Yeshua says, let him first get the promises of God that cover his need and accept the answers as already being God's will by his word. This is in Matthew 8:8. Yes, Matthew 8:8, also in John 15:7. Let him have faith in the word as the basis of God's will and the assurance of that answer. Remember, the centurion said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." A centurion, Roman centurion, had that faith. He told the Lord that he believed that his word was all sufficient to cast out demons from his servant. Just as his own word was sufficient to get action on the part of the 100 soldiers under his authority. Yeshua was marveled at this type of faith. So if this is what faith is, we can all have faith if we want to have it. Again, I say faith is simply taking God at his word. Basically, that's the bottom line. And I'm going to finish today this part of a lesson with something I want to talk just at the end here about the fact that we have no excuse for ignorance about the will of God. Sometimes we hear people say, well, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. We can all read in the Bible what God has left for us in his will through Christ. If one has doubt as to what he can have, read the will of God for himself, for yourself. If someone is left things of value by a will, and he does not desire to get the benefits provided simply because he does not want to touch or use any part of the blessing left to him in the will, that's our fault. If he should constantly whine and worry about getting something needed that is left him in that will, just because he does not believe it was left him, no, then let him go without the benefits and keep his mouth shut about being in need. So it's the same thing with a Christian. If you do not want the benefits you read about in the Bible because you think you would be asking amiss or it might not please God, you will go without the blessing. There is no excuse for the lack of anything in life. For all things are freely promised and abundantly provided. We just have to believe. And listen to the last thing here I wanted to say. All prayers or all answers to prayer are for God's glory. They're not particularly just for ourselves. God wants to be glorified. He wants to take care of us. He wants to be consulted. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Not only are we told that all things are ours, but we are told for what reason they are for us, unto the glory of God. This is the chief reason for answered prayers, whether it be prosperity, healing, health, salvation, whatever it might be. Yeshua said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father Yahweh may be glorified in his Son, in me." John 14:12. We just have to remember what God's desire for us is. The last thing I'm going to mention, God's desire is that we yield completely to him and cooperate wholeheartedly with him for the highest of all beings and of the universe. It is God's highest will to give to his children liberally without rebuking them for asking, and everything they want for their good and his glory. And that is all through the New Testament. James 1, 3 John, John 14, Mark 9, Mark 11. It's constantly reiterated. So that's where I'm going to close tonight. And then the next time we talk, I've got another message to go along with this about further talking about what God wants for us and what he's going to do for us. Alana, would you close? Let's all stand. And I'd like my sweet wife to close us in prayer tonight.
Heavenly Father Yahweh, we thank you for your Son Yeshua. And we take him at his word and believe in him. And we thank you that we have the word to refer to, the Bible, and all we have to do is believe it, that you said it, you meant it,
yes,
and we just have to take that to heart and stop questioning. Just hold you close and realize that you love us so much that you always listen to us and care for us and want what's best for us in your eyes, which may not be what we always agree with, but that we need to trust you with our very existence. And we thank you for this gathering together. Thank you for each one here.
Thank you for how you've carried us through the past week.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray for the week to come.
Mm-hmm.
Open up opportunities for us to share with others. And thank you for all our many blessings. In Yeshua's precious name, we ask it all.
Amen.
Amen.